He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, here we are, SNU, He Said, She Said, March 2014. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, it certainly is. About time, man. This Canadian winter weather is pretty cold. Hawaii is the place to be.
Yeah, and yeah, sucks the big one, man, the wintertime. The whole country is groaning for sunshine and warmth, especially back east. What a nightmare it must be. Like in Winnipeg, like minus 51 Celsius. Can you
imagine? Know what? We are in Canada. I keep forgetting that. We're in Canada. It's north. So, you know, when I complain, I have to shake my head and go, we're living in Canada. What do we expect, right?
Well, my body is in Canada. My mind is always in Hawaii, and that's why I live in torment, you see.
Yes, I know you do.
I can't seem to pull my body back to where it wants to be.
I hear you.
You know, this is what having kids is all about. When the kids have babies, you need to be there for them. And kids spread themselves out, and they live around the planet now and do all kinds of different things. But it is well worth the effort and energy, and we certainly do enjoy our little grandkids.
Sure would be nice if they moved to Hawaii, though,
wouldn't
it?
They will. I'm going to lead the way. They're all going to come out. Why would you stay here when you have a grandpa and a dad living in Hawaii, huh?
No kidding.
So what is cookin'?
What's cookin' is I would like to revisit miso soup. Now, I used to eat lots of miso soup when we were in Vancouver. We went to a lot of Japanese restaurants. There was a lot of Japanese markets there where I would buy all the product and make Japanese meals on our own. Since we moved to Vernon, the Japanese food is not that good. We don't go out for Japanese food. They say Kelowna has good Japanese food, but that's like a 45-hour drive away. So, and then we went to the gym, and we walked by a little store, and it was a Japanese supermarket. So, hello, I'm all over it, all over again. So we're back into the miso soup again, and what a perfect time to have it because the weather has been so cold, and that miso soup is very, very warming. So it is a rich, salty condiment that characterizes the essence of Japanese cooking, and it's one of the easiest soups to make. I really, really mean that it is. And miso soup certainly does have a high sodium content. However, it's not the sodium alone in the diet that affects the blood pressure, but the balance of all the essential elements, including chloride, potassium, calcium, and magnesium. So there's a lot of elements in the miso soup that are very rich that balance it all out. So, and you love that miso soup too that I make, right, Corey?
Well, always with sodium in mind, you have to think about its balancing partner, potassium.
Yes.
Overall, at the end of the day, did you have more potassium than sodium?
Absolutely.
If you did, that's good, and the more the better. Plus, it's the chlorine now that's been associated with causing some of the heart and artery-related damage in the sodium or salt, like sodium chloride.
Mm-hmm.
That's sodium and chlorine, right? That's what makes it acid. So too much acid, obviously, changes the pH of the body, and most people struggle with being far too acidic.
Right. So there are natural constituents, including several minerals, isoflavones, saponins, soy protein, which is partially digested, and live enzymes in the non-pasteurized miso. So there really is a lot of benefits to eating the miso. Now, for example, there are different types of miso that you can buy. There's four forms, actually. There's a red, white, barley, and soybean. And the red is equal portions of white rice, soybeans, and barley. The white miso is white rice, soybeans. And the barley is made from the barley and the soybeans. And the soybean miso is made solely from soybeans, yeast, and salt. I usually get the soybean miso. That's the one I would...
The pure stuff, huh?
Yeah, the pure stuff. That one has the highest level of the protein and the lowest percentage of the carbohydrates. So really take a look and see what kind of miso soup that you're buying. And what I do is I just get a big pot of filtered water. I bring it to a boil, and then I add the miso into it. I simmer it. I don't want to boil the miso. Then what I do, and you want to make sure that it dissolves, and then what I do is I add wakame, Now, that's the dried seaweed, which is super-duper healthy. It is a thin and stringy seaweed, and it's really got a deep, rich, green, dark green color. You can use it for making salads, which I put it in salads, so it's got that nice crunch, and I put it in miso soup. And it's really common in Japanese and Asian foods. It's great for the skin. It's got antiviral properties in it, and it's a beauty skin effect. It contains calatin, among other seaweeds, and the calatin is believed to be an effective in protecting your skin for rough skin and for pimples. So that's why the Japanese have beautiful skin, right? And lots
and
of energy.
Pimple popper.
Yeah. So it's also high in potassium. So the beauty of it is if you use the wakame or the kelp, it's high in potassium, magnesium, iron, and folate. So that's where you get your balance with the miso, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking about the acne thing. Those kids in Japan, and I've been to Japan, and when they're raised on that traditional diet, even here, if kids are raised on a natural whole, I guess you could say a non-traditional. The tradition now is junk, so a non-tradition,
yes.
Go back to nature. But the kids have no acne. And, of course, the medical establishment and the cartel and the pharmaceutical industry opposes that there's any connection or relevance to what you eat and acne, which is a load of crap. And Lauren Cordain wrote a book, and he proved with his research and science that you can shift away from that chronic acne and totally regenerate your skin with his so-called paleo diet theme, you know, which is really free of all the grains and refined foods, but it's alkaline forming, kind of like I think miso would be neutral to slightly alkaline.
Yes, absolutely. So when you add the wakame into it, so you've got your boiling water, you add the miso, you can add the wakame, you can add tofu, medium to firm tofu. If you want to add green onions into it, that's great too. What I did, I didn't add tofu this time. I had the miso soup as the base. Then I added some carrots and some celery and some onions and some barley. It was a vegetarian soup. Now, you can add whatever. If you want to add chicken or beef to that, you can if you like. Even shrimp if you want to, and tofu. So that was just so healing and warmed us up, because I get really cold in the winter. I need those warm soups and stews. And I had so much energy. It's like you say, when you have barley the night before, you have more energy in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
What
that
is
barley
it?
Is a muscle builder strengthening agent for me.
Yeah, so you can add anything you want into it. The sky is the limit. So get into having some miso. It's the simplest thing. It's a beautiful base for any soup, right? And you don't have to add any soy to it or any salt to it. It's perfect just the way it is. It's a beautiful base for anything you want to add into it.
Yeah, and you know that barley, it might not just be the barley, but you make a beef barley with the bone. So maybe none of them individually have what it takes, but when you make that beef barley and all the vegetables, it sort of adds up to a complete value. And I think that people are looking for straws or magic bullets and single-minded approaches, and it's never that. Health is made up of such a variety of requisites. We need to have them all in order and actively engage in them on a regular basis.
I think it's called synergy.
Yeah.
The synergy of everything working together, right? That's what a healthy body is. Because if you're not feeling happy and excited about your life, then you're not healthy.
True.
You can have a beautiful, gorgeous body, but if you're not happy in your life and you hate life and you hate people and you've got no money and blah, 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 hey, you can have no money. I don't mean no money, but you can have not be financially successful, whatever that is. That doesn't mean that you're not happy. But, you know, everything needs to work together. You need to have peace of mind. And a healthy diet can help you have a peace of mind. Healthy eating works on your brain.
Well, for sure. I mean, the neurons are made of atoms and elements. I mean, how can anyone say that food isn't relative to brain health? Because your brain is matter. And what you eat matters to the matter that you're composed out of. Like body composition changes, obviously, based on how people live and eat. Why wouldn't the cells that make up your brain, your spine, all the cells, why wouldn't they ultimately depend on what you're putting into the system? Seems pretty straightforward to me.
Pretty straightforward to me, too. Anyways, get back into miso soup.
Yeah, get your miso on.
And you know what? Even in the summer, you can have miso soup cold. It tastes really delicious. It's really, really good.
I like just holding the bowl with my fingers and sipping on it, like
yeah.
a cup of tea.
Yes, exactly. You can exactly. You can have it in a cup and just drink. You don't need to put anything in it, just the miso on its own. And you can drink it warm or room temperature or cold, and it's just absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I love the soup starters. You know, that leads into the next course. That's a great
yeah.
way to begin.
Yeah.
It's easy to digest, and there's a lot of elements and intrinsic things, as you mentioned, that are in the soup format that get absorbed really well.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. So that was a good one, hon.
You're welcome.
So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Jeffrey Spencer, chiropractor to the Tour de France for over 13 years, and the author of the book, Turn It Up. And the beauty about this book, he says, is you can just open any page and point your finger, and you're going to get something out of it that's motivating and action progression. I like doing that sometimes. I got maybe 4 books on the go, and I just open a page up sometimes, and I read that page. It's funny how I'm like that, but that's what he says you can do with this particular book. He works with top high-end athletes, and he has like an adaptive fitness is the cornerstone of his Champions Blueprint. And this blueprint, he says, is what every champion has, because he's done surveys and studies on champions. And he says what they have is passion, purpose, productivity, and prosperity. And those are what that blueprint of every champion has. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, those are 4 good P's to remember.
The PPP.
P. Yes. And I like the fact that he was an Olympic athlete. He competed in the 72 Munich Olympics. And now, in order to compete in the Olympics, you have to make the Olympic team.
Yeah.
And just making the Olympic team means that you have to have extraordinary athletic talent and ability. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
You can't even get to the Olympics unless you are a super, super athlete.
They're all top notch. They're all top notch.
That's why when they line up at the beginning of the race, okay, one guy wins, but they're all winners. They've all done so much to get there. And on that day, on that particular time format, one guy pulls it off, and there's a lot of variables that go into it.
Yeah. They're all top-notch
athletes. He's the kind of professional that I would like to work with. You know, I like to work with doctors, healthcare practitioners, massage therapists, whoever, that live in the now. They participate in their own wellness channel. They've got the fitness. They've got the food. They're taking supplements. They live their truth, right? And so they're there to help you. They're helping themselves. It's a better scenario. It's a more wholesome connection than working with somebody that doesn't participate in wellness and then really ultimately could be easily manipulated by greed.
And there's a lot of them out there. And one thing that he says, as we age as athletes, he says, don't get in your own way by doing too much. You know, we think that we're still 20 years old. Oh, yeah, I think I have that problem sometimes. And then I get going and going and going, and then I burn out and I get tired. And so I really like that. And, you know, don't get in your own way. Know what you can do and take rest. Doesn't mean you can't train with intensity, but you might not be able to train 7 days a week with intensity like you used to because you're just setting yourself up. We have to come to terms with the fact of where we are in our life.
Well, and it's all mental and emotional, right? When we say get out of your own way or don't get in your own way, if you're walking along a sidewalk physically, you're not going to meet yourself. There's not going to be another you coming at you. It's all mental. But you could stop moving forward. You could turn around and go in a different direction if you have fears that are unfounded, if you're full of self-doubt, if you second-guess yourself, if you don't trust yourself, if you feel insecure, if you don't have a lot of self-worth, or if you suffer with self-loathing. And I think that that's what it means. And a lot of the masters, the philosophers, the great minds all talk about this connection that we need to have with ourselves that's positive, not negative. I mean, how can you hate yourself, the thing that you are? Well, I guess you could be deceived into hating yourself, but really you have to see what you are and just work with what you've got.
Well, sometimes you don't like your own behavior. but you keep doing the same thing all the time, but you don't like when you do it, but you keep doing it, get out of your own way.
I think that there's a lack of understanding of the fact that it is you that's doing it, and there's reasons why you're doing it, and you won't put the time and energy into investigating, like Sherlock Holmes, how the crime started. And then you're not looking for the obvious clues that many people miss. Like, you love to watch your investigative shows, you know, and those forensic investigators try and look for clues and DNA and things that are not normally intuitive. They're almost anti-intuitive, the things that you don't pick up right away.
Yeah. Anyway, he says that chiropractic is a science. It's not a matter of, oh, I believe in chiropractic, I don't believe in it. It's an actual science. And it's funny today because I just this morning, I went to the chiropractor because I was feeling a little out of sorts.
And how'd that go?
It went pretty good.
Yeah?
It went pretty good. Yeah, I just get going a little too crazy. And only about once a year I need to see the chiropractor. And then I go for about a week or two and just to get myself sorted out again because I do get a little carried away sometimes. And I know when that happens. You're training, you're dancing, you're walking, you're lifting babies, you're moving furniture. You know, just it's just normal, yeah, normal everyday stuff, right?
Well, normal everyday stuff for an athlete,
yeah.
For you and I, training, teaching, pushing, pumping, plodding, moving forward, in spite of our age, which we generally ignore, and I'm not aware of my age. That's just a traditional term. I don't even think in those terms, right?
Well, my body gets out of whack sometimes. I say this is a chiropractic thing. It's not a yoga thing, it's not a stretching thing, it's not a deadlift thing, it's a chiropractic thing.
Hey, Bob Hope lived to 100 because he had a massage therapist.
The particular chiropractor I go to, he has a woman come in 5 minutes prior to his session with him, and she does a little massage therapy on you, so that's kind of nice. Anyway, what he specializes in is getting people in the zone. Being in the zone is your normal. So feeling good all the time is your normal. Nothing wrong with that. Anyway, he's all about earthing as well. Now, when I was trying to visualize it when he was doing his interview about earthing, and to me it's like putting like an electric blanket, wrapping you up into an electric blanket. And he says it helps the body to get back to its natural level of electrophysiological state.
Whoa. Yeah, except that the AC, the alternating current. You know, if you stick a fork in an outlet, you'll get electrocuted.
Okay.
So we don't want that pumping through our body, and that's not what's coming through. In the grounding earthing blankets and bags, that's completely blocked, and just the grounding portion connects to you, and that is what happens when we step barefoot on sand or on the earth. We get grounded.
Yes, exactly. He said this hurts with inflammation control, tone into the body, it stabilizes free radicals, and it works like a natural antioxidant. He says electrically, you connect your body to the earth's ground. So again, we talk about bare feet, and I teach in bare feet, my Bollywood and my Dance Fit class, and I love it. My feet are so strong now. And my students' feet are getting stronger. They're a little apprehensive to take their shoes off. It's amazing how apprehensive they are. But they start, the new people, they won't take their shoes off, right? They wear runners or some dance shoe or something. And then halfway through the class, they take their shoes off. And, you know, the floor might be a little bit dirty because other classes have been going on. But they don't care. They love their bare feet now. And they're getting stronger with their bare feet. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important because you can't heal your feet unless you take your shoes off. And there's a lot of stuff going on in feet. But, you know, I just think this is really great. His earthing says it works super fast, doesn't cost a lot of money. It works like the speed of light. That's pretty fast. He says it helps your mood. It helps your sleep. It helps jet lag. You'll never be jet lagged again. It has a lot of healing your injuries. It sounds like a major, major thing. We got to get into that. We got to get that blanket.
Yeah, I think it might be wise to invest into that and or, like myself, I spend almost every day, especially in the summer. The wintertime for me is a drag because I like to walk every day. I live in my bare feet, as you know. I have an adversity to putting anything over top of them. I just don't like socks and shoes at any time. But I do like to go in the backyard and walk on the grass and swim and walk on the beach and all that. I think it's just super healthy
for
a lot of different reasons.
So we're going to get into that more. But oh, he had thank you, Jeffrey. But one of his last statements that he said that I found really, really compelling, like when you asked him what his final note was, and he said, people are lost, and when they're lost, they have no hope. And when they have no hope, they have no vision. And what you need when this happens, everybody needs a trusted confidant. Everyone needs a mentor. And to have a group that they're committed and responsible to or for, to be accountable. But I just thought that was so powerful.
But it seems to be that way. It seems as if people are floundering, they're struggling, they're losing it, they're weakening, they're morally collapsing. And that is not the way a human being is designed to be. So there must be a reason. So he's saying, get a mentor, someone who's not doing that. Have a look at them, see what they're doing, and to, you know, assign yourself to a group. Be responsible to a group. Most people are not responsible to mommy and daddy or any groups anymore. So they basically are living in a free-for-all style, and they lose it. They can't control themselves. They become addicted to any manner of substances, mostly food today, and prescription drugs. And or they become addicted to a life that has no physical activity in it. They drive everywhere. They won't exert themselves physically. They're kind of spellbound and held captive by the deceit of marketing and propaganda.
Well, when you have no hope, you have no vision. So, which the vision is goals and targets. So you can't see beyond the trees. I think that's what that's all about. You know, it's always good to have... I mean, I know in my life, since I was a little girl, I always wanted more. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And this is so normal for me. And I find it very difficult when people don't have that, you know?
And I think, speaking of trees in the forest, if you clap with one hand, can you hear a sound?
But, you know, I think that's where a lot of people say I have a lot of energy. And I'm thinking, well, I guess I have energy. I don't know. But I always wanted more. I want more. I make a goal, and then I reach that goal, and then I go on to my next goal. I can't imagine my life without that. If I did not have my personal goals, I would be lost, and I'd have no hope. So I think that's been my saving grace. I don't know where I got that from, but that's just a natural for me. But I think that really is where people have lost it. They don't have any vision. They don't see beyond where they can be right now, because right now is only now, and there's a lot more coming on. So thank you, Jeffrey. That was a wonderful interview.
Yeah, and you know where hope came from, right? You know Pandora's box?
Yeah.
Well, everyone thinks, when you think of Pandora, was apparently the first woman that was created by the gods of Olympus, and the gift that she was given, she was told never to open. It's a really interesting story. She opens the box, as we all know, and all manner of hell comes out, evil. But when it was all gone, when it was all out into the world, at the bottom of the box, and the box actually is not a box, it's a vase and jar. That's exactly what the real original depiction was hope. So the gods had left hope and given us that to help us through the state of humanity and the dire straits and depravity and violence, all that. We have hope that it can change, and it will, and it does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, there you go.
Good stuff. Well, we used up a lot of our time, so our hot topic, what is it? We'll just touch on it.
Just really quickly, our hot topic is about fat phobias. We're getting a lot of people emailing us and asking us questions about fat. They can't wrap their head around putting an essential fatty acid into their shake. Should I eat the skin of the chicken? What about the fat on the meat? Eating too much fat is going to make me fat. So, you know, it's about quality, not quantity.
Well, the first thing I recommend is doing what apes and gorillas and orangutans and dolphins and all the smart animals can't do. None of them can do. None of them can read. So read a book. It's called Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill by Udo Erasmus, and that is just a wonderful treatise, a wonderful presentation on what fat is and where it comes from and why we need it. And that's the key. We need fat. We don't need carbs. Nobody knows that, or most people don't. They think carbs are essential and critical and you'll die without them. That's absolutely false. We do need, as you mentioned, the essential fatty acids, but also fat brings into the body the vitamins A, the D, the K, the sterols. There's a lot of things in nature that have remarkable athletic functional value that are in fat and not in the carbs and not in the proteins.
Right, and we do have SNU with Udo Erasmus, that you can go back and check that out, Udo Erasmus. That's fantastic. And like I mentioned before, I talked to Udo, and I said, Udo, how much oil should we take? And he said, until your skin gets soft. Load up on it. We give it to the kids. We did all the way through, and we give it to our grandkids. And beautiful skin, absolutely gorgeous.
Well, you and I are taking an avocado each every day. We're taking in olive oil, of course, hemp, flax, pumpkin seed oils. These are plant seed oils, but also eating animal proteins that are laden with fat. A lot of people don't know that when you eat a chunk of meat, there's no carbs in it. It's just protein, and in some cases, more fat than protein.
Right.
And then what is the composition of the fat? That's what you have to know. Saturated fats are not necessarily bad, but again, anything taken out of proportion to an extreme degree, and of course, how are you eating these fats? You know, do you mutate them and alter them chemically through improper cooking? You can take something really, really good and completely destroy it.
Right.
Right? So how are the fats cooked? You need to know how to prepare food so that it ultimately, although it tastes good, it doesn't destroy you. And there's a lot of these bad fats in crackers,
potato chips, you know, all that stuff. That, you know, get away from that.
If you're eating fried food, if you're eating food that's fried, then you're miles away from an optimum diet.
Right.
Miles away. And then also you can reduce your intake of carbs, which I've done, increase your intake of healthy, functional fats from both animal, plants, saturated, unsaturated, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated. They all have enormous value. And what I'm doing now, I used to do a 40-40-20, 40% protein, 40% carbs, low glycemic, crude, functional carbs, and 20% fat. Well, now, as I'm aging, my metabolic rate's slowing down. No matter how active, I can run 20 miles a day and train 10 times a week. My metabolic rate, because my cells, my DNA, my mitochondria are being ravaged by free radicals caused by breathing oxygen and being alive, right? So reduce the energy directly from carbs, increase the fat, which becomes more functional, and you can save yourself from this insulin resistance, this hyperinsulin anemia that prevents you from burning fat efficiently and using your energy efficiently.
Right. And there we have it. Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Hawley.
Good, good, good. So don't be afraid of fat.
Right. Don't have a fat phobia.
Yeah. Embrace the fat.
Exactly.
Yeah, good stuff, honey. Well, what is your final word?
My final word is a Spanish proverb. A man too busy to take care of his health is like a mechanic too busy to take care of his tools.